Your personality, how you were raised, your orientation, keeps getting in God's way.
Dr. Tony Evans says, since our souls aren't always lined up with the Lord's agenda, the sword of the Spirit has some surgery to do.
God's got to slice you out of the way so His Spirit can break through.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. God's Word isn't just powerful, it's precise. It can cut right through to the heart of the problem, even if the problem is our heart. Let's join Dr. Evans in Ephesians chapter 6 as he talks about the sword of the Spirit.
We want you to clearly understand what it is to have this armor operating in your life, the armor of God. He wants you to stand firm, that is to hold the ground that Jesus has already won. Jesus has already been victorious legally. He wants us to experience it literally. He doesn't want you and I to go out and create victory. He has already crafted victory. He comes at the end of verse 17 and gives the last piece of the armor of God. He says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. This is very important because this is the only offensive piece of weapon in the arsenal. Now, let me give you three words for the word of God so that you can understand how this works, because we want you to use the sword correctly. Graphē, that is the Greek word for the writings. Scripture is called in the Bible graphē. There is the logos. Now, the logos goes further than the graphē. The graphē is the book written that has been written. The logos is the message of the book. But that's not the word in verse 17. He says the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. His Greek word is rhema. Now, we'll explain how this ties together in a minute. But his Greek word is rhema. Now, rhema means utterance or words spoken or declared. It is the declaration of the logos that you got from the graphē. The graphē, the book, gives you the logos, the message, but it is the rhema that plunges in and draws blood. It is the rhema that the Spirit uses. So many of us are not seeing the power of the Spirit because we haven't graduated to the rhema. We're either stuck at graphē because we bought a Bible at church, but the Spirit doesn't use that. That's not the tool for the spiritual warfare. It's still the Word of God, but it's not the tool that the Spirit uses. Others of us, perhaps most of us, we come to understand the logos, the message. We want to understand the sermon. We want to understand the truth. We want to understand its message. We may be inspired by it. We're educated by it, oriented by it. And so we now understand something we did not previously understand from the graphē that now has become logos in our minds and understanding. But when it comes to spiritual warfare, when the enemy is all up in your grill, you need more than graphē and logos, you need rhema. In Hebrews chapter 4, he speaks about the logos, and this is what he says, beginning in verse 12. He says, the logos of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. Why do you need to know that the logos of God can get down to spirit and soul? Because your spirit and soul is your invisible world. That's the invisible world. Your visible world is the physical, your body. Your invisible world, The world where you truly live is made up of soul, your personality, and it's made up of spirit, the God presence in you. He says, this thing is so sharp that it can slice the invisible realm, separating spirit and soul. Why does God want to use the logos, the message, to separate your spirit from your soul? Because your soul gets in the way of the spirit. It not only attacks what you do, it attacks what you think. He says it gets down to what you were thinking. It gets down to the thoughts, and it goes deeper than the thought. It goes to the intent. Not only what you were thinking, but what you were thinking about what you were thinking. It gets down to the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God's goal, logos, is to expose. It is God's X-ray machine. If all you get when you come to church is what you hear in your external ear, all you did was open up Graphe and somebody told you something. When the truth hits you, you ran into logos because the message is given. Jesus is called the logos in John 1 because he was God's messenger. He came to present God to human beings. He was the deliverer of the message. He says that the word of God, the logos, penetrates with power. When the message is given, when you grab the message and accept it, you now have understanding. You say, oh, that's what that says and that's what that means. Then what happens? He says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. Now he brings in rhema. Rhema is the word of God uttered or used. Graphe is the writings. It's just been written. Logos is the message of what's been written. Rhema is the use of the message. When you pull out rhema, you just pulled out the spirit, because the sword is the sword of the spirit. When you pull out rhema, that is when the word that you have becomes the message that you deliver in short battle conflict when it's all up in your face. You have now given something the Spirit uses. If you're satisfied with Graphe, just having a Bible in your car, you know, on your kitchen table, in your bookshelf, or under your arm, that's not gonna help you in close up front battle. If you only have logos coming to church, hearing the sermon, even understanding the message, that message is true, that message is alive, that message is active, that message works in the spiritual realm, but in close up battle, when hell breaks through in your life, the evil day, he says what the Spirit wants you to use now is not just the understanding tapes you've been listening to or radio broadcasts you've been listening to. It now has to do with a sword you use, a dagger you use, and he calls that the rhema of God, the utterance of God. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. God spoke, and the Bible says, and it was so. In other words, the spoken word had within it the power to do what the spoken word declared would be done. God spoke it, and what he said happened. And it happened exactly like he spoke it, but watch this, it didn't happen till he spoke it. God didn't just think, he declared it. And when he declared, let there be light, bam, there was light. Because there was power in the word used, not just God even having the word known. God knows it all, but he used what he knew. The spoken word had power in it to produce what the spoken word called for. It was a dagger used. That is, it was what the Spirit, and how do we know that the Spirit had something to do with it? Because it says that when God was ready to create, the Spirit of God was hovering over, ready to move when it heard the spoken word. The Spirit of God was just hovering over, just biding his time, saying to the Father, as soon as you talk, I'm ready to act. I'm hanging out. I'm hanging out. As soon as you say something, I'm going to do something. But I'm waiting on you, Father, because I can't do something till you say something. But when you say something, whatever you say, I'm going to do, because you have given me what I need to pull it off. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, what did the devil do? Mess with that word. He said, well, hath God said, that let's talk about what God said. Because he knew if he could mess up the use of the word, he would mess up their power. And he could now take control because he not heard of your words. In fact, the devil loves to hear you say, well, I think. He loves to hear you say, well, my opinion is. He loves to hear you say, well, my daddy told me. He loves to hear you say, this is what my mama taught me. He loves to hear you say, well, all my friends say. He loves that because he knows there is no power. He knows there is no power in that. He knows that sword is dull on both sides. He knows that ain't gonna do anything with him. That ain't gonna do it. He loves for you to go and find out what this group says and find out what that group says and look at all the news show and find out everything. He loves that because he knows there's no power in that. He ain't scared of that because he knows the Spirit is not in it. But when you go rhema, when you go rhema, when you take the logos and use the logos, he's allergic to he's allergic to that. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it is the rhema of God, the utterance of the logos that you got from the graphe. When you take the Bible, get the message, and use the message as uttered, the enemy in your face can't handle that.
But Dr. Evans says we can do more than make the devil back down by actually going on the offensive against him. More on that when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, time is running out on our special offer on Tony's enlightening book, Warfare, Winning the Spiritual Battle. It reveals that the behavior troubles we face are quite often rooted in the unseen spiritual war going on around us and gives us the insight on how to counter Satan's assaults. Contact us right away and we'll send you your own copy. All we ask is that you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station by making a contribution toward his ministry outreach. And to help you get even more out of your study time, we'll also send you all 8 messages in Tony's current teaching series on either CD or digital download. It's called Armor of God. This special double offer ends this week, so there's not much time left. Make your donation and request online today at tonyevans.org or call our resource center at 1-800-800-3222, where we have team members standing by around the clock to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that information for you again after part 2 of today's lesson and this.
It is easy to forget what this is supposed to be all about.
It's time to level up as a pastor. The 2022 Kingdom Agenda Pastor Summit is also a virtual event, so you can experience the Word wherever you are.
If you become a regular abider in the Scriptures, you're going to show yourself to be a real disciple.
On October 4th through the 7th, connect with like-minded pastors and share in the power of the Kingdom Agenda.
You need some people that'll be in your life that'll tell you that you're tripping and that you need to get back on the narrow path.
Engage with some of the greatest preachers of our time, like Dr. Charlie Dates, Dr. Joel Gregory, and Dr. Tony Evans.
God will empower your actions. He will not replace your actions.
Are you ready to make an impact? Sign up at cap2022.com. That's kap2022.com.
We can't fake it and make it in front of the world.
Sponsored by the Urban Alternative.
Look at Matthew chapter 4 real quick. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus, verse 1, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Okay? Now, most of us will say, oh, the devil's all on me. Well, suppose he's all on you because God led you to him. Yes. Why would God do that? Because you're supposed to be on offense. Yes. And offense goes at the defense. Yes. Says the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness for the express purpose of being tempted by the devil. And the tempter came to him, verse 3, and said to him, since you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. Now we read at the end of verse 2, Jesus is hungry. So where does the devil meet Jesus? He meets Jesus at the point of his problem. Jesus is struggling because he's hungry. He's struggling for physical food. He's hungry. So the devil shows up at a specific time to address a specific need, a legitimate need in his life, that he is now hungry. So what does he offer? He offers Operation Breadbasket. He offers him a feeding program. He says, look, you're the Son of God. You can do whatever you want to do. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? Jesus says, it is written. No, he didn't. Guess what Jesus doesn't do? Get into a long meeting. He says, why don't we have a 3-hour meeting to discuss this? Get into a long conversation. He doesn't get into a long dialogue or diatribe. He doesn't get all of that. He says, it's written. It's written. Now watch this. The living word. The Bible calls Jesus the living word. Okay, he's the living word. If the living word needed to use the written word to deal with the enemy of the word, then how much more you and I, who have written no word, need to use that same word against the enemy of the word? What makes you think you better than Jesus? Jesus wouldn't even go at the devil based on what he thought. And he had perfect thinking. He wouldn't go after the devil based on who said what and what. He didn't even say, well, this is what my daddy taught me. He said, let me tell you what the Graphe says. But when he tells him what the Graphe says, he tells him what the Graphe says based on Logos. Because he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8. So guess what? Jesus is in the New Testament, but he reaches back to the Old Testament to a passage that dealt with the situation he was currently facing in the New Testament, because the New Testament hadn't been written yet. So he's hungry. The devil says, I've got a feeding program. Jesus goes into his computer. He Googles it. Feeding program, feeding program, feeding program, feeding program. Bing! He hits feeding program in Deuteronomy 8. Well, Israel is crossing the wilderness and they are hungry and they need a feeding program. So when he Googled feeding program, it took him back to Deuteronomy 8 and it told him when they were crossing the desert and they were hungry that they called on God. And he rained down cornflakes from above called manna. The Hebrew word manna means what is it, or if you're urban, what it is. And it had to do with cornflakes from above. He rained down cornflakes from above. In other words, God met them in their hunger through a supernatural means. The devil was offering to solve the problem through a satanic means. God is offering to solve it his way. The devil was offering to solve it his way. Both were trying to address a legitimate need. The issue is not, is my need legitimate? The issue is, who's giving me the advice as to how to address it? Jesus Christ Googled down feeding program, ran to Deuteronomy 8 and say, devil, let me tell you what God said about this situation. it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but man also lives by where it came from. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When he heard what was written, he couldn't handle that anymore. He went to another subject. He then takes him to the top of the temple and says, jump off, because then everybody will know you Messiah when you hit the ground like Superman, Spider-Man, or Batman. They will see that that jump didn't kill you, and they will all know you are the Son of God. Guess what Jesus says? It is written again. He says, it is written, you shall not, verse 7, put the Lord God to the test. He was saying, Satan was saying, test God. God said, don't test me. He said, Satan, this is what God told me to tell you about you telling me right now to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Then he, verse 8, he took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the world and their glory. He took him. Please notice, he took him. Do you know sometimes God will let the devil take you? God let the devil take Jesus, and Jesus goes along. God let the devil take him. He took him. He said, now I give you all this stuff, all this money, all this glory, all this power, all this fame. I'm going to give all this stuff to you if you do really what I was after all the time. Get on a knee and worship me. If you will just recognize me as Lord of your life, I'm going to give you the whole world. I'm going to give you the whole world, Jesus. Jesus said, verse 10, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Satan said, worship me. Jesus Googled worship. Bing, okay? You shall worship the Lord your God. But he didn't just study the Bible and know what it said. He opened up his mouth and said what it said. He told the devil, devil, let me tell you what God just said about what you're telling me. And when he told the devil this, the Bible says that the devil, verse 11, left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. The devil left him. Oh, I hope you get this. God likes baseball. Three strikes you out. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. The devil couldn't handle more than three strikes, and the devil was gone. You say, why won't the devil leave me alone? Because he know you ain't gonna ever say it is written. He knows you're never going to bring that up. He knows you're going to start talking about my neighbor, my family, my friends, my thinking, my TV, my reading, my education. He knows you're never going to go and Google anything about what is written. Or if you do, you're never going to use it. So he doesn't have to fear you. He can hang out with you all day because he knows that you will not use the one tool that the Spirit does use to give you victory in the spiritual realm. In other words, you read the graphe so you can understand the logos, so you can use the rhema. It is to be used not only to be read, not only to be understood, it is to be used. And guess who you're supposed to use it on? You're supposed to use it on the enemy or any of his reps. Now you'll see the power of the word. Because when that word gets pushed down into the spiritual realm, when it gets driven down into the spiritual realm and used in that realm, it is transforming. I want you to know you got a sword. God wants you to speak spirit-filled words, because these are the words the Spirit uses in your situation. But if you don't open the graphe and get the logos, you won't have a rhema word. If you knew you had something this powerful to deal with the real issues of life, it's powerful, it's transforming.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about how you can more effectively use the sword of the Spirit to fight the spiritual battles in your life. Part of his current series called Armor of God. Now, don't miss your chance to get all 8 messages in this powerful collection as our gift. Just make a contribution toward the work we do through radio, television, study resources, and more. And we'll send it to you with our thanks, along with the book I told you about earlier called Warfare. As I mentioned, this special double offer ends this week. So be sure to get in touch with us right away to make the arrangements. You can do that online at tonyevans.org or call our resource center at 1-800-800-3222. It's open around the clock. That's 1-800-800-3222. If God already knows what's going on in our lives and knows what he plans to do about it, what's the point of prayer? Well, Dr. Evans will have the answer for us tomorrow. Be sure to join him. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.